We're holding on Ayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Now we learned previously that, so we said that a Naira Mairasa, if she makes a neder, both her father and her husband, or her chassin, together have to be matir the neder. So now, we're gonna, so the Mishnah says, Mesa'av, if the father dies, lo yisroikna rishus labal. The rishus of the father is not emptied out to the husband. In other words, we don't say that, we don't say that since the father is gone, then now the orus, the father, has the exclusive rights over this neder. No, the orus can never be made for a neder unless the father is together with it. But on the other hand, if the husband dies, then the rishus of the husband is emptied out to the father, meaning that the father now goes back to being able to be made for the neder by himself. So in that sense, the father has greater power than the husband. And in fact, the Ritva says a svara for it is really, I mean, essentially, you're talking about this girl. She's a Naira Marosa. She's still living at home. She's still essentially under her father's rishus. But there's the chassan already has come into her life and has already been the kaddisher. So therefore, he has a certain role to play as well. But primarily, it still has to be the father. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, the Dover Acha Yofa Koyach Abal Mikoyach Ab. On the other hand, there's another angle in which the husband has a greater Koyach than the father, Shabal Mefer Bebeger, namely that the husband is able to be made for his wife's Nedarim, even when she's already a Begeres, Va'ab Eni Mefer Bebeger, whereas the father cannot do that. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that, what that means. Are we talking about that she was, that the Eirusin took place when she was a Begeres? Are we talking about the Eirusin took place earlier and now she's a Begeres? We'll get to that. But the point is, the father loses all rights to his daughter's Nedarim once she's a Begeres, whereas the Chassan, or the later on the husband, continues to have rights after that. So the Gemara says, my time. Why is it that we're saying that, so again, we're saying that if the father dies, then the rishus does not go completely over to the husband. So why not? The reason is, because the pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Nedarim, it says, in her youth, in her father's house, so it means, in other words, implying, the Ran says, even though her father himself is gone, but her father's house is still there, and she's still living in it, and therefore, in a sense, she's still tied to him, so that if he's not around anymore, and he's the only one from that household who would have been able to be made for her neder, then he's not available, therefore there's nobody else. The chassan by himself can't do it. On the other hand, we said if the husband dies, then the rishus reverts back to the, it's emptied out and reverts back to the father. Minolon, so where do we know that from? The Ran, by the way, points out the difference in terminology. The first question, the one asks my timer, which means what's the reason. The second one, we're asking minolon, where do we know it from the pasuk? Meaning, in other words, that, The second time, the Gemara is asking Manolan, how do we know that in fact the father has the ability to be made for by himself if the chassan died? The question, the first time around, though, the question wasn't how do we know that the chassan can't do it by himself. The question was really, why shouldn't he be able to? Why shouldn't we say that the chassan has the, that the husband has the ability, the orus has the ability to be made for in the neder by himself, just like the father does? And the answer is, because of the pasuk b'nireha b'savia. So in other words, the questions are slightly different. In other words, the first time around, the question was, why don't we compare one to the other? And the second one was, why in fact, where, or not why, but where do we see in the pasuk that the father is, that even after the erusin, there can come a point when the father has exclusive rights over the neder? And the answer is, Amar Rabba, the Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, v'im hoyoy siyala ish, if B, she will be to a man, so we learned at the beginning of the parak that we have like this. We have the previous section of the, in the psukim that talks about a girl, an unmarried girl before Erosin even, where her father can cancel, can veto her nedarim. Then the pasuk starts by describing a naira mardos, and it says ve'im hayosila ish. So we said that we learned the other day you have the vav there that ties them together, meaning that the father still has a role to play. And the pasuk says hayosia, which implies now hayoy and the shoresh hayah we said before refers to kiddushin. So therefore hayosila ish refers to kiddushin. And because the double expression in Hoyosila Ish, so previously we talked about it's just that's the style on the Torah, but we're actually dowshining something from it. We're actually dowshining something from that double expression. So the positive is being Hoyosila Ish. If B, she will be, meaning in other words, if she will be in a Scottish to a man, Undareha Aleha, and she has the Dorim already on her. The positive goes on to say, the pasuk goes on to say that her chosen, that her oros can be made for those nedarim together with the father, as we learned before. Well, therefore, since we have a hoyosia, Rabbi says makish koydme havaya shnia lekoydme havaya rishon. Therefore, the Torah is showing that there's a comparison between the nedarim that came about before the first chosen was makadisher, and similarly before the second one was makadisher. Meaning, in other words. So what happens? Let's consider in this girl's life. There was a time when she wasn't yet Mekodesh. During that time, that's where the first section of Psukim applies, and we say that, her father by himself can be made for her Nedarim. Now, what happens then? The Pasuk goes on to say, we said that if the, now if she becomes Mekodesh, and there are already Nedarim that are on her, when she became Mekodesh, but now you're saying Hoyosia, the double expression teaches us that even if there are Nedarim that she took after the first Arus died, after the first Arus died, we're going to talk about later on what happens. There could be she made these Nedarim even while the first Arus was alive. Then he died. Then she was Nisaris to a second one. So now, the Nedarim that take place before she was ever Mekodesh are called Kodmei Havayash Rishon, are called the Nedarim that took place before her first Kedushin. The ones that took place before the second man was Mekadesher, after the first one died, are those are called Kodmei Havayash Shnia. Those are the ones that took place, that came into existence before the second one was Mekadesher. And because the pasuk says Hoyosia, it means we're making a hekesh between those two. Ma koydme havaya rishona av meifel achode, just as with ones that take place before the first one was ever Mekadesher, we say the father alone is able to be annul those nedarim. Af koydme havaya shnia av meifel achode. So it is also with the ones that come before the second havaya, also the father can be made for by himself. So in other words, the idea would be, so before she was ever Mekodesh, her father can cancel them alone. Now when she's Mekodesh, it needs her father plus her chosen. Now when her first chosen dies, then until she's Mekodesh to another one, then her father is able to cancel those Nedarim again, just as he was able to cancel the ones that came before the first chosen came along. So that's how we learn this concept of Nisroikna Rishus La'av. That's how we see, therefore, that the father has the full ability to be made for this neder. So the Gemara asks, Ema, but maybe you should say, Hani Mili Benedorim Shalom Nira La'arus. Maybe you should say that would only apply to the Nedarim that were never seen, that were never heard of by the Arus, meaning he never heard about it. Because let's consider what happens with Koyd Me'avaya Rishona. By definition, the Arus didn't hear them at the time she made them because he wasn't her Arus yet. He hadn't been Mekadesh her yet. So maybe we should say that fine, if we're going to make a Hekesh, then it'll be any Nedarim that took place before the guy was Mekadesh her. Then we would say that the father has exclusive rights. But what about the Nedarim that were visible to the first Arus? So let's say she had made a neder while she's in Arusin to the first one. Then that first one didn't do anything yet. Then he died. Then another person was Ma'aris on the same day. The din is, we're going to say later on, let's say before somebody was Ma'aris the second time. So we're saying the father can cancel her nedarim alone. But why? The fact is, this neder was already heard by her chosen. Maybe the fact that it was heard by her chosen. So you could say, if he didn't hear about it yet, then And then fine, you could say he has no rights over it yet. So therefore, it's easy enough to transfer whatever rights he would have eventually had back to the father. But when he actually heard of the neder, loy motzi mefer av, then maybe the father shouldn't be able to veto those nedarim, because after all, there it's different. It's not quite the same as the ones that took place before her first erusin, because those were never heard by her oros at the time, whereas the ones that we're talking about were. The answer is, even nedarim shel nira l'oros no, because if you're talking about nedarim that were never heard by the first oros, you don't even need the positive b'mahoye seal ish for those, mi b'noreha b'savia nafka. We learn those from the words b'noreha b'savia, that as long as she's in her youth, as long as she's in her nairus, and in her father's house, that he's able to be made for her nedarim, so we don't need a different pasuk to tell us. So therefore, the pasuk b'mahoyei seila ish, the double hoyei, must be talking about even nedarim that were heard by the first orus are still available for the father to be made for when that first orus died. Now that's if she ends up getting miskadish to a second person that same day, then we're going to talk about later on that in fact you go back to that second orus together with the father need to be made for those nedarim. So there we go. That's how we know this concept of nisroikno rishus la'av, that you have this possibility of the nedarim once the chosen dies, then the father regains exclusive rights over her nedarim. We said in the Mishnah, we said this is where the father has greater rights than the husband, in that he's able, in that there are times when he can be made for by himself, but there's never a time when the chosin can be made for by himself. On the other hand, we said there's a case where the husband has stronger rights, namely that he can be made for the nedarim of a bergeres, whereas the father can't. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidomi, what's the scenario that we're talking about where she's a bergeres? Are we talking about that the husband was mekadesh her when she was a naira, and then afterwards during the kiddushin she became, and then sometime during the time of the kiddushin she became a begeres? Well, let's consider why should he have the ability to be made for her nedarim? Mechti, let's consider, Misa Motzia, if her father dies, then that takes her out of her father's Rishus, Ubagris Motzia, and Ubagris Motzia, Agosabah had the words Mirishus Av, that it takes her out of the Rishus of the father, Ubagris Motzia Mirishus Av, and become a Begeris also takes her out of the Rishus of her father, because, so the Ran explains, when the father dies, obviously, his own schos is gone, but also he can't bequeath that schos to his son. We learned actually about this in Ksuvus. When there's a pasuk that says about avodim knanim and shvachas knanis that says you bequeath them to your children, that they inherit them from you. But we learned over there in the Gemara that it means you. On the other hand, you can't bequeath your rights over your daughter to your sons. So once the father dies, she's in her own rishus. Her brothers have no rishus over her the way her father did. So his death takes her out of his rishus. Her bagrus also takes her out of his rishus, because as a begeres, she's not in her father's rishus anymore. So let's compare. Ma miso l'nisroikna rishus labal. So shouldn't we say the same way as if the father dies, the rishus does not empty out and go to the husband, as we said in the Mishnah, the chosin always, if he's going to be made for, has to do it together with the father. Af bagris l'nisroik mirishus labal. Shouldn't we say the same thing then, that if she becomes a begera sometime during the time of the erusin, that doesn't necessarily allow the husband to have exclusive rights? Why should it? The fact is, fine, her father has no more rights over her, but the fact is that the same way as if the father dies, we don't say the chosin gains exclusive rights only once they do nisuin. Why should it be any different if she becomes a begeres? So we can't say that when the Mishnah says that the chosin has the ability to be made for nedarim when she's a begeres, is talking about that kind of scenario. Ella, so you're going to answer shakitcha kri begeres. Okay, so you'll answer that the case is that he was mekadesh her when she's already a begeres. So in that case, you're saying, in other words, that, so, So you're saying, so now during the time of the Kiddushin, so what happens is like this. Now we learned in Ksuvus, and we're going to learn later on in our Perek as well, that there comes a point that we usually expect. There's a certain amount of time that once a couple gets, once a couple does Kiddushin, there's a certain amount of time that we allow them in order to prepare what they need for the wedding. We learned about it in Ksuvus. For a Basula, you need 12 months. For a woman who's previously been married, you need 30 days. And we said, we learned in Ksuvus a couple of times, and it's going to come up now also, once that time is over, to a certain extent, they're considered married already, even though they haven't actually done the chuppah and done everything else. So now, let's consider. If he was Mekadesh her when she's a Begeris, and the time has already passed, so you're going to argue like, it's fine. During the time, during the expected time of the Kiddushin, during the 12 months, let's say she's a Basula, then fine, we could say the Chosin doesn't have the ability to cancel her Nedarin because you would need to do that together with the father, and she's already out of the Rishos of her father. But you're going to say that what the Mishnah is implying is that after that time passes, after those 12 months pass, then already he has Rishos over her Nedarin exclusively. Well, that may be so, says the Gemara, but Hotanena Chodazimna. What we already have a Mishnah later on in our parak that says exactly that. Habegeres Rishosa Yud Bez Chodesh. That if 12 months have passed from the Erisin and the wedding still hasn't taken place yet, and the Mishnah says later on that Rabbi Eliezer says, since already at that point her husband is Chayev and her Mizonis, as we learned about in Psumas, we said that once those 12 months or 30 days passed, then we said, Rabbi Eliezer said, so we learned in Ksubas, her husband is already Chayev and her Mizonis. So now Rabbi Eliezer says in a later Mishnah, in our Perek, by the same logic, then he should be able to be made for her Nedarim exclusively. We should consider as though she's already married to him. And then the Chachamim say that not. So we already have a Mishnah later on in our Perek that expresses this point. So why would we need our Mishnah to be saying the same thing? So before we get to answering the question, first we need to analyze that Mishnah a little bit and understand what it's saying. So we want to ask Hogu for Kasha. You seem to have a contradiction in the Mishnah. Amrit habegeres shashasa shnei masachodesh. You're saying that if a begeres of 12 months have passed since the kiddushin. Well, the question is, why do you need, the Mishnah had said, Begeres Shashasa, I'll go for Kasha, I'm going to have Begeres Shashasa, Shnei Masachodesh, Begeres, Lomali, Shnei Masachodesh. The question is, if she's already a Begeres, when she was Niskadish, why does she need full 12 months? Belamed Yom Sagila, 30 days ought to be enough. The whole 12-month business is when she's a katana or a naira, and it takes her 12 months to pull everything together as far as cosmetics and jewelry and everything else that she needs for a wedding. A begeris, though, we already assume that she has a lot of that stuff prepared, and therefore that she doesn't need full 12 months. Now, in Ksubas, in Ksubas, we learned, to be exact, that was Rav Huna's shita. So Rav Huna had always said that a begeris that's only 30 days. And the reason is, again, because we expect that she's going to have prepared things before that. Now, the Gemara there discussed it. We learned this in Ksubas, and the Gemara discussed it and said that no. What happens is, when do we say a begeris needs only 30 days? Only if she's more than 12 months already since she became a begeris. If not, then what we do is we give her until the end of 12 months from her bagulus. So let's say, for example, so let's say she became a begeris, and then a month later he was mekadesh her. So now she has 11 months because now, in other words, you're going to give her 12 months. You're always going to need, that needs to be a minimum of 12 months from her bagrus, and you also need to have that there is a minimum of 30 days from the kiddushin until the date of the wedding. So whichever one of those, if he was Makadish her a couple of months after her Baglus, then she's going to have until the end of 12 months. And if he was Makadish her after those 12 months have passed, then she only gets 30 days. That's how the Gemara ends up explaining it over there. So not quite like Rav Huna, who says that a Begeris always gets 30 days. The bottom line is, though, that we're saying that it's not always the case that a Begeris has 12 months. So the Gemara is bothered by saying the Gemara is bothered by the idea. What are you going to say? The Mishnah, when it says Begeris 12 months, is specifically talking about the case where she was Niskadish on the day that she became a Begeris. That's a very unlikely situation. So that being the case, then, so why are we saying 12 months when many times can in fact be only 30 days, namely if it was more than a year after she became a Begeris? And the Gemara says, you're right, Tony, you have to fix up the wording of the Mishnah. You have to learn Begeris v'shashasigur bezchodesh, one or the other. Either she's already a Begeris and 30 days have passed, or even if she's a Naira and 12 months have passed, because when she's a Naira, everybody agrees that you need 12 months. So either way, Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah later on that he already can be made for her Nedarim. There's further in this also, actually, there's further details about that. Are we talking about that one of them said to the other, knew, when are we making the wedding already? Or is it that we're talking about even without that, then automatically the clock is ticking and you have after that point. Anyway, the point is, getting back to our Mishnah, again, you can't say logically that if she became a Begeris during the Kiddushin, that he was Makadishu when she was a Naira, and now she became a Begeris, that now he, the Chosen, should have exclusive rights over her Nedarim. There's no reason we should say that any more than we would if her father died. So it has to be, we're talking about his Makadish as a Begeris. But we already have a Mishnah later on. Fine, we had to incidentally be dealt with that Mishnah and fixed up the wording of it. So it's not always saying 12 months, it's saying sometimes 30 days, sometimes 12 months. But the bottom line is we already have a Mishnah later on saying that point. That a Begeris, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, at least the husband alone can be made for the Nedarim of his wife, a Begeris, when already the date of the wedding has come, and even though they haven't gotten married yet. So Mikol Mokum Kasha. So after all, then you have a question, why does the Mishnah have to repeat that point twice? So the Gemara says a couple of answers. Ibois Ema Hocha Dafka. One answer is you could say that here is the main place where the Mishnah wants to inform us of this Chiddush. Begeris to Katani Hasam. The only reason why that later Mishnah mentions again the matter of the Begeris, because it wants to tell us about Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim on that point, but really fundamentally the concept that the husband should have wife rights over his wife's Nedarim when she's a Begeris, we already have in this Mishnah. So later on, the Mishnah would be informing us that actually Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about that point. So now, actually, though, the Ram points out, you can't really say, it's not really right to say then that our Mishnah is saying it b'davka and the other one is saying it only incidentally, because the fact of the matter is, we need that later Mishnah, because otherwise we would think we have a Stam Mishnah over here, we'd think this is the Halacha, and therefore the later Mishnah has to clarify for us that in fact, it's a Machlokes. So in fact, the Ram used a bit of a funny expression. He says, when we say over here that the Begeris over here is Davka, that was specifically needed over here, Lav Davka. The Davka is not really so Davka. In other words, the Tanya is dealing with the matter of Begeris. He begins by mentioning it in our Mishnah, and then later on he informs us that you should know that not everybody agrees with that. But that's what it means. When we say that our Mishnah is Davka, doesn't mean that ours is the main place to talk about it. It means that ours is the beginning of the discussion about it, and then it continues later on as well. So that's one answer. The Gemara says, V'boisem a Begeris Davka. Or the other answer you could say is that the Mishnah later on that mentions the Begeris is the one that's Davka. That is the main place where the Tana wanted to inform us of the Chiddush. Just since our Mishnah had mentioned something in which in this the father has greater powers than the chosen, so now the Mishnah also, by the way, wanted to mention a case where the chosen has greater powers than the father, namely in the case of a begeris. But we would say that this is not really the main place where the Tana meant to discuss this point. Next. Mishnah says, Nodra v'hi arusa. Suppose the girl makes a neder while she's an arusa. So we said that her chosin and her father together have to be the ones to be made for her neder. And nisgausha boy b'yom, suppose that on that same day she got divorced, nisgausha boy b'yom. And then she was nisaris to somebody else on that day. By the way, it's not so simple that she really should do that. We learned back in Yevamos that when a woman gets divorced, then really she's supposed to wait 3 months before she can remarry. We said that there are times when that zera doesn't apply because the whole reason was ahavchin ben zera lo zera in order to be able to distinguish between where if she became pregnant the first time around, we want to be able to distinguish whether it is in fact from the first husband versus from the second husband. So in a case like here, we're talking about that may not apply. Whatever the case, point is, let's say she was for whatever reason the Scottish to somebody else all on that day. Even if you have 100 one after the other like that, so the din will be that her husband together with her last husband together with her current husband are the ones who are made for her nedarim, and that would apply even to the nedarim that she made before this one. So she was niskadish to Reuven, and then Reuven divorced her. And then on that same day, she was niskadish to Shimon, and then Shimon divorced her, and she was niskadish to Levi, and so on and so forth. Any neder that she made, whether before she was niskadish to Reuven, or whether while she was niskadish to Reuven, or between him and Shimon, or during Shimon, etc., Levi and her father together are the ones to be made for that neder. The reason why we're mentioning it's all on one day, is because we're talking about a case where one of them, either the chosin or the father, heard the neder. So therefore, then the clock starts ticking. Then he only has until shkia to be made for that neder. So therefore, if one of them had divorced her and then the other one is Makadish or the next day, that wouldn't work because the first chosin wasn't mefer. So therefore, in that sense, the neder is already still in effect because once Shkia comes, then he has no ability to be mefer. So therefore, when the next day comes and the next one is Makadish her, then it's too late to do anything about that neder. Achronim talk about, for example, that let's say, for example, what if the father hadn't heard yet? So what if the chosin heard? Why don't we say that the chosin died on that same day? So what's the difference whether it's on the next day that somebody is Makadisher? The fact is the father didn't hear yet. As far as the father is concerned, the clock didn't start ticking yet. So why shouldn't we say that if she's Makadish to somebody else on the next day, then that somebody else together with the father, when the father hears the neder on the next day, then they together, the two of them, can veto that neder. And they answer that Sameach, Mithra Ashash, and others talk about that since the Gemara is going to explain, the second one only comes from the koyach of the first one, so therefore the first one only had koyach on that day, and therefore so does the second one. There is Bechlal, we touched on this before, Machlokas, between the Rambam and the Rosh, on the question, does it necessarily have to be that the chosin and the father hear the neder and are canceling it on the same day? Or would it be good enough if one of them hears it one day and is made for it, and the next one here and the other one hears it on the next day and is made for it? Would that work, or does it in fact have to both be on the same day? The Rambam holds that it has to be both on the same day. The Rosh holds that each one of them can be on their own day as long as this is the day that they look at. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Zaklal, the general rule is kol shala yotzal rishus atzma shor achas if she never was in her own reshus for even a moment. So let's consider, if she had become a nesua, then she's under her chosin's reshus. But then when her chosin dies or divorces, then when her husband dies or divorces her, she's back, she's in her own reshus now. Because we learned in Ksuvus, that one in Yeromis also we learned that once a woman is divorced, then even if she's still a katana or a naira, her father is already considered out of the picture because she had gone through nisuin. When she goes only through erusin and she's still a katana or a naira, then she reverts back to her father's reshus. But when she was fully married, when there were nisuin, then we say that once her husband dies or divorces her, then she's in her own reshus. So if she had gone into her own reshus, then her father doesn't have the right to cancel her nedarim anymore. And therefore neither does an orus, because again, we said before, an orus can only do it together with the father. But we're talking about over here, where she was still a katana or a naira, and again, her first chosin divorced her, and now she's neskadish to a second one, and then her second one divorced her, and she's married to a third one, and so on and so forth. And since she's a katana or a naira, in between, when the first one divorced her, then she goes back to her father's reshus. When the second one is mekadesh her, now she's in a joint reshus of him and her father. When he divorces her, back to her father. And so on and so forth, she was never in her reshus for even one moment. Therefore, in such cases, of Vio, Bailaach, and the Fir-Nidaraha, those are the cases where her father and her last husband are able to be made for her Nidar. But not if she was ever in her own reshus, then her father has lost the right to be made for her nedarim, and her chosin wouldn't be able to either, because a chosin, an orus, can only do it together with the father. So the Gemara asks, Menalon de orus achron made for nedarim shenudo l'orus rishon. How do we know this concept that we said, that we just said now, so let's consider, when she's right now, for example, Mekudesh to Levi, having previously been Mekudesh to Reuven and then afterwards to Shimon, and then Reuven divorced her and Shimon divorced her, so we said that any Nedarim that she made, even if they were heard by Reuven, and Reuven hadn't done anything about them yet, or by Shimon, we're saying that nevertheless, Levi now gains the rights to veto those Nedarim together with her father. How do we know that? Meaning, in other words, the Ran explains it has to be necessarily, we're talking about the Chosin heard it, because otherwise there'd be no need for it to be all on the same day, because again, the clock only starts ticking when the father or the Chosin hears about it. If the Chosin didn't hear about the Neder, then nothing would happen with it anyway. So we have to be talking about that Reuven heard the neder, and then before he had a chance to do anything about it, he divorced her. And then Shimon comes along as mekadesh her. So now we're saying that neder is available to Shimon to be mefer. So how do we know that that is the case? Maybe we should say that once Reuven already had jurisdiction over that neder, then Shimon is not able to get that. And the answer is Omer Shmuel. The Ran, by the way, goes on to point out that the Menalon over here is not the stum of the Gemara asking the question, and then the Gemara is going to give an answer from Shmuel, but rather all of this is part of Shmuel's statement. Shmuel wants you to know how we know that the Orus Achron is able to be made for Nedarim from previous Arusim. So Shmuel is asking the question almost as like a rhetorical question. I'll tell you where we get this from. The pasuk says, "V'im hoyo yisiel la'ish from dereha olaha." The pasuk says, "If she will be mekudesh to a man," and we said before, the hoyo yisiel means even we're talking about multiple kedushin. Undereha olaha, and her nedarim are upon her, which means nedarim shahoyu olaha kamar. So we're talking about nedarim that already were on her when she's neskadish, and we're saying that now her orus together with her father can be made for those nedarim. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that it's talking about that? Dilma hani mili shla nidu la'oris yushin. Maybe you would say that applies only to ones that were never heard or that were never visible to the first orus. Because again, we would say that the orus, the first orus never had any jurisdiction over them. Or for that matter, we could have where she made them after the first husband divorced her or died. So now you have to consider, in other words, the Mishnah itself is not really clearly saying. The Mishnah just says Nodra v'hi Arusa, but it doesn't specify whether the Chosen, whether Reuven, the first Chosen, actually heard of those Nadarim. So Shmuel wants us to know that yes. So the Ran explains, the Ran and all the other Mephoshim over here explain that in fact Shmuel had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that it doesn't matter whether the first Orus heard of these Nadarim or not. Either way, the current Orus plus the father can be made for those Nadarim. So the Gemara is asking, how do we know that? If you're learning it from the Pasuk, Dilma Hani Mili Shalom Niru the Orus Yushin, maybe that would apply only if the first Orus hadn't heard of them. So then he never had any rights over those Nadarim anyway, or certainly Nadarim that she made after he divorced her or after he died. Al Nadarim Shiniru the Orus Yushin my Matsi made for Orus Achron. But maybe we would say that anyone that the first Orus heard of, maybe then in that case, he's divorced from her now, or he died, so he lost those rights, but maybe he's not able to transfer those rights to, the last Orus. Maybe if anything, we would say that, the Ran says two possibilities. Maybe we would say that, one possibility is we would say then that it reverts from the first Orus directly back to the father, rather than going to the second Orus. So the result would be that only the father by himself is able to be made for these Nadarim, if the first Orus had heard of them. The other possibility, the Ram says, maybe we would say that in that case, she's stuck. We can't say that the second Orus would be made for them, because why should the second Orus gain them from the first Orus? After all, the first Orus already heard them. We can't say it should revert completely to the father, because unlike in the previous cases that we talked about in the Siroikna, where we said that the rights can revert to the father, that would be talking about where there's no Orus in the picture. Here there is an Orus in the picture, the most recent one. So the second possibility that Ran says is maybe we would say in that case that nobody can be made for those Nadarim. How do we know it's not so? The answer is Allah Akra Yasehu. The answer is because you have the word Allah in the Pasuk. On her, that's an extra word in the pasuk. The pasuk could have just said "Vim hoyasila ish undareha imutas vaseh." So, and then the word Allah, you don't need it. So therefore, so it means. So the word Allah means even nadarim any nadarim that are on her. Allah means on her. So any nadarim that are on her, regardless when she made them, whether she made them before the first Orus, whether she made them when she was Mekodesh to the first Orus, whether the first Orus heard about it or he didn't hear about it. Doesn't matter. The Pasuk is telling us, Undareha Allah, any Nadarim that are on her when she's Mekodesh to the second one, then that Orus together with her father, as long as she's still a Tana or a Naira, can be made for those Nadarim together. So that's how we know the din of our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Tanya Tavasei to Shmuel. In fact, we learn a Braisa that like what Shmuel says, that there's no difference, whether the first Orus heard the Nadarim or didn't hear the Nadarim. Either way, the second Orus takes them over. The Braisa says, Naira HaMairosa, Abiyo Baila Mithunir, a Naira HaMairosa, her father and her husband together, cancel her Nadarim. Tosfos actually brings, and on the side of it, he would also brings that it should really be Obaila Achron and her current husband, her latest husband, the Fir Nadarim. Ketzad, what does this mean? How does this work? Shama Aviyah Vahetala, suppose her father heard the Nadar and was made for her. The husband didn't have a chance to even hear the Nadar until he died. And she was again Nisaris on that same day. Even if this repeats 100 times, still her father together with her current husband can be made for her Nadarim. And the Braisa continues, Shama Baila Behefala, vice versa, if her first husband heard and was made for to them, and was made for the Neder. And the father did not have a chance to hear until the husband died. Now the father can go back and be made for the part of the husband, because as we said before, Nisroik Nereshus, the Reshus that the husband had before now transfers back to the father, and therefore now the father has the chance to be made for this neder. But Rav Nosson says, as we had this in a similar braisa a few days ago, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Shammai. Rav Nosson says that would only be a point of Beis Shammai, Avo Beis Hillel Ein Yochel L'Hofer. But Beis Hillel says he's not able to be Mefer without the lack. So a point of Beis Shammai. So now the Ran has a very, very long discussion over here. When Rav Nosson is saying that this is a point of Beis Shammai, but not a point where Beis Hillel holds differently, is he referring to in the entire braisa, both cases in it? Or is he referring only to the end, or is he referring only to the last case of the braisa? So again, let's recap. So let's recap. In other words, we said the first part of the braisa says that if her father heard the neder and was maker and the husband didn't yet, then we say that avio baila achim mefirin nederah. So now, is it that when Rav Nosson says hein hein divrei Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel says ein yochel l'hofer, is that referring to that part as well, or is it only referring to the second part of the braisa, which is the other way around, where her husband heard and was mefer, and her father didn't have a chance to hear before the husband died? Then we said the father now can be mefer by himself, and Rav Nosson is saying not as a point of Beis Shammai. Is he talking about only that last part as a point of Beis Shammai, or is he talking about in both halves of the braisa? We're saying that's only a point of Beis Shammai, and the Sivah would disagree. In other words, in the ratio of the braisa, when we're saying the father heard and was maker, the husband did not yet have a chance to hear before he died, and nisarsa boi b'yoyim, then avio baila achim, is Rav Nosson telling us that is only a point of Beis Shammai, whereas the scholar would say that it wouldn't work, that father wouldn't work, or is Rav Nosson telling us that the reisha of the braisa, that first case where the husband heard and was mefer and then died, everybody would agree that now the latest husband together with the father can be mefer the neder. But when it comes to the other way around, where the husband heard, in the first part where we said the father heard and was mefer and then the husband died before he heard, so are we saying that only Beis Shammai would say that now the father and the last husband can be mefer, and Beis Hillel would be disagreeing, or is Rav Nosson saying that everybody would agree that he could? Then when it comes to the sefer of the braisa where the husband was mefer and the father did not have a chance before the husband died, then that we're saying that the father can be mefer, Rav Nosson is saying that's only a point of Beis Shammai. Everybody agrees that's what it means. So the Ran gets into a long discussion about these two possible ways of understanding the Gemara and why we would say in each case why according to each of the two opinions, why would we say that Beis Hillel would disagree in the Reisha versus that they would not disagree in the Reisha. So first the Gemara says b'mayitzi, what is the underlying machlokas? The answer is Beis Shammai Savin Yedorim Nami Shiroi La'oris Nisroik Nereshus La'av. Beis Shammai holds that even Nedorim that were Roi, or rather not so much Roi, how goes the back changes it to Niru, that were seen, that were visible to the first orders, even then we say Nisroik Nereshus La'av, we still say that the Reshus reverts to the father, Omega's Gaius, and we would say, because we learned previously that Beis Shammai holds that when the husband is made for his when he does his part to be made for the neder, he's cutting away half the neder. We have the question the other day in the Gemara. Suppose, for example, she made a neder not to eat two particular olives, and then the husband was made for and the father wasn't yet made for, or vice versa. Would we say that she's chayav malchus if she eats both of them because now she's eating the kazayis of Isser no matter what? Or would we say that she's not chayav malchus because the entire neder has been weakened? And then we went through a long braisa discussing various possibilities and various permutations involving the father and the husband, and we ended up saying that Beis Shammai holds Megas Gaius, that Beis Shammai holds that the husband, by doing his atara, cuts away half the neder. So half the neder is gone, the other half is still there in its full strength. So now Beis Shammai holds that after the first orus So now, in other words, after the first arus has been made for the neder, then there's nothing more than that. Then he already did his part. He has nothing more to do with that neder. Therefore, Beis Shammai would say that the father alone can be made for the entire neder, because at that point there's nothing more. There's nothing now for the husband to transfer to the father, because he already did his part and cut away the neder. Whereas Basila is going to hold that her father, together with her current husband, has to be made for the neder. Veloy Megas guy is, because they would say that you can't cut, he doesn't cut it off, he weakens the whole neder, and therefore, you still have to have that the father then does his part and then completely removes the neder. Until that happens, the neder is not completely gone, and therefore, when she's nisaris, then the second husband inherits that right from the first one, and therefore he has to be made for together with his father. So now, like I said, the Rambam gets into a very long discussion about the possibilities over here. Do we say that Beis Hillel agrees in the Reisha, or are we saying that they disagree only in the Sefer? So we could say in the Reisha, given that the case was in the Reisha, the father had been Mefer, the husband had not yet been Mefer. So you could talk about then that the husband's part has not yet been removed. He hasn't exercised his right with that first part yet. Therefore the next chosin can get it from him, and he can take it over and do it together with the father. As opposed to in the Sefer, where we would say where the husband already did it, since Beis Hillel holds Mikosh Kolish, that he weakens the power of the neder with his hafara of half the neder, because he did his part of the neder and he weakens half of it. Therefore, we'd say it's too, as we learned the other day, it's too weak for him to now give over to another chosin to be made for. So all of that is one way, and then he goes on to explain that the other way of understanding that even in the ratio we could say that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree, because they hold Miklash Kolish, so they would say in the ratio, when the father did his hafara in the Reisha, then also Mikvash Kolish. So now the new Orus is not able to join together with the father, because there's not really, you don't have enough strength of the father's hafara anymore to go together with the second Orus. And then in the Sefer, they'd be arguing in the same way because the chosim with his hafara has weakened the neder, and now it's not able to be transferred to another one. So again, the Ram goes through a very long discussion about both of them. He ends up saying, "Va'adayin sorech la'ayin," you still have to investigate this and see which of these two possible explanations of the Braisa is the one that fits better with this Gemara and with other Gemaras. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. I guess, okay, huh?